Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Let us pray. Our gracious and most loving God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which guides us into the truth of your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us in our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit has led me as I have prepared your message for this morning. Open our hearts and our minds and allow your Holy Spirit to give us the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Both passages of scripture that we heard this morning speak of God's Spirit of truth. When we accept God's Son as our Lord and Savior, we are accepting that free gift of salvation for our lives. And we are given God's Holy Spirit. That Spirit of truth that allows us to proclaim the good news. We hear when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, we are told, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we know that Jesus' words, as shared to us in the Gospels before his ascension, also talks about the power of God's Holy Spirit coming to us. I'll read the words as given to us in the Gospel of Luke. "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you what the Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." See, it was God's Holy Spirit power that the disciples needed to do the task that would be before them. It is that same Holy Spirit power that was at creation, that same Holy Spirit power that was given to the prophets, as we read in the Old Testament, that same Holy Spirit power that was given to the disciples and Apostle Paul and all those who preached the good news in Jesus' name. That same Holy Spirit power that led to the Methodist movement. The same Holy Spirit power that joined us together as Methodist and Evangelical United Brethren to become United Methodist. That same Holy Spirit power that has been promised to us when we accept Christ as our Savior. Scripture is very strong and very clear in saying that we can do nothing without the Spirit. Now, we know that we can do things, can't we? But we can do nothing of God, nothing that he is calling us to if we are not led by his Holy Spirit power. that power that he promised to each of us when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit power, which is to guide us and direct us in everything we say and everything we do. And yet often, we want to be independent. It reminds me of a child with their parent. They want to know they are loved. They want to know that they're being cared for, and yet they want to be independent, don't they? I see it even in my 2-year-old grandson. He wants his mama. He wants her love. And yet there are times that she is trying to help care for him, and he says, I do myself. Isn't that how we are sometimes as God's children? We want God's love, don't we? We want to know that God loves us. We want to know that God cares for us. But there are times that God calls us to do something and we say, I do myself. See, our goal of living as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is that we should be living into sanctification, into that perfect love that God has for us. We know God's grace is working in lives long before people even recognize what that grace is. As United Methodists, we call that prevenient grace. And then we may come to that realization of God's love for us, of how God sent his Son, his one and only Son, to die for our sins, to take our place on that cross, that he was buried in a tomb, and on the third day he arose, so that you and I can have eternal life. And often, when a person comes to that realization, they make that decision to give their lives to Jesus Christ. They confess their sin and they say, Christ, I want you to be in my life. I want you to live in my heart. And at that point, God's Holy Spirit is given to us. We are given that new life in Jesus Christ. God's Spirit of breath is breathed upon us. Into our very being. And that same breath is returned to God as we continually allow it to flow through us. See, his love flows into us and then it flows back out as we share his love with others. God's Spirit walks with us. God's Spirit talks with us. God's Spirit comforts us. God's Spirit reminds us of his word and reminds us of what it is that Jesus has taught us. God's Holy Spirit leads us to live a more fuller and complete life in Jesus Christ. God's Holy Spirit is what allows us to love those that others say are unlovable. God's Holy Spirit is what opens our eyes and ears to the needs of others and then allows us to take action to help them. God's Holy Spirit was in creation. God's Holy Spirit was given to us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God's Holy Spirit is there to inspire us, not to give us pious spiritual feelings, but to allow us to live in the way that God is calling us to live, to take the action that he calls us to take so that others may hear that good news and come to know it for their lives. The Holy Spirit is what guides us along our faith journey, allowing us to grow more into the image of God. Remember the words of God in the creation story? He said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." And so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And yet from the beginning of time, Satan has been deceiving us. We saw it in Adam and Eve. Satan deceives us and takes us from living into that image of Jesus Christ. And too often when we fail to live into that image, when we fail to do what God calls us to do, and I'm guilty of this myself, we say, "Well, we're only human." I will be honest. I think we humans have weakened the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean in any sense that we can weaken God's power, because we cannot do that. But I think we have weakened the power of the Holy Spirit because we have failed to rely on God's Holy Spirit. We have failed to allow God's Holy Spirit to work in our lives as God intended. We fail to call upon the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and in the lives of God's church. See, God's Holy Spirit is an integral part of who we should be if we belong to Jesus Christ. God told us he would never leave us or forsake us. Jesus promised us at his ascension that his Holy Spirit would come to us. And so when God's Holy Spirit is living in us and among us, everything we say and do should show the love of God. So here is the question for us today. Do we truly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? In our Thessalonian scripture reading this morning, we heard, "Because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit, and through belief in faith, in truth," I'm sorry. But I think too often we confuse belief and faith. See, belief is that part of our faith that happens when it becomes real to us. See, oftentimes I think we say, we have faith in God. We have faith in Jesus. We have faith in the Holy Spirit. When truly what we're saying is, I know about God. I know about Jesus. I know about the Holy Spirit. I know about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet we don't truly believe. There is a difference. I think it's hard for us to define belief, because I think it's hard for us to fully understand the gift that God gives us. And so we substitute our own thinking. We have to have faith in order to believe. And you can't believe in something unless you have absolute faith that it exists. So they go hand in hand. But belief is the result of our faith. See, that's where the Spirit comes in. If we have belief in God's Holy Spirit, then our lives are going to reflect that. We're going to live lives of grace. We're going to live lives that show others what it means to have that love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. It's going to mean that we think about the needs of our neighbors before we think about our own needs. It means that we're going to look to the lost of the world and we're going to see how we can share that good news of Jesus Christ, so that they can be found. We're going to look to those who have strayed from the flock and see how it is that we can bring them back. See, we will constantly be seeking and following the will of God. And it's continual. And it changes. And He calls us. And He calls us. And He calls us. So is it time that we need to look at ourselves? Is it time that we need to see if we truly have that relationship that allows us to believe and live into the power of the Holy Spirit? Do we need to confess our sin and invite Jesus into our hearts? Or have we done that, truly done that, but for some reason, Satan has somehow got a hold of us and has pulled us away from that strong belief in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we've begun to think on our own or allow Satan to influence in a way that keeps us from living into the will of God. Do we need to renew our relationship with God? See, living lives that believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are lives that are lived in love and in obedience to God. And the only way that can happen is when we allow God's Holy Spirit to guide us. When we allow that power of God's Holy Spirit into our lives, and then it pours out of our lives to do the will of God. And when we do that, we're going to have personal peace and power and obedience. And our ministries are going to be filled with joy as we serve in building the kingdom of God. See, too often we're only concerned about building our church, which truly isn't our church, it's God's church. But we should be looking at how it is that we can truly build the kingdom of God here on earth. Our lives should be about spreading justice and mercy and holiness to everyone. We know we are living in a country of Christian decline. We see it. We see it in our churches locally. We see it in the churches throughout the United States. And we're not just talking about United Methodist churches. We're talking about churches of all faiths. Is the church in decline because somewhere we have got lost along the way and we are failing to listen to the Holy Spirit as it leads us and guides us into the will of our Father? There are going to be times that we struggle with how it is God is calling us and whether it is God calling us. Whether it is truly the truth of the Spirit or whether it's our own inner thinkings. What we need to remember is God will never call us to do something that goes against His word. That's why we have scripture. God will never cause us strife. Not that there won't be strife, but even in that midst of strife, we will have a peace if we're following the will of God. God will never ask us to be ugly to another human being. Never. He will only ask us to love them. I would like to end this morning with our doctrinal standards and general roles of the United Methodist Church, as given to us through the Articles of Religion of the United Methodist Church and the Confession of Faith of the Evangelical United Brethren Church. These are in our Book of Discipline as we came together to become United Methodist. I quote, "The Holy Ghost proceeding from the Father and the Son is of one substance, majesty and glory with the Father and the Son, very and eternal God. We believe in the Holy Spirit who proceeds from and is one in being with the Father and the Son. He convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He leads men through faithful response to the gospel into the fellowship of the church. He comforts, sustains, and empowers the faithful and guides them into all truth." End of quote. My prayer is that we have a faithful response to the gospel into the fellowship of God's church in a way that comforts, sustains, and empowers us all to be faithful disciples, to be led by the Spirit of truth. Amen.